who are following in the faith of their fathers and mothers, as well as the most important thing is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few announcements before we go right into the heart of the, service. We're not going to have coffee hour today. Is that okay? Luke, are we okay with that? No? All right. Well, we'll get you some Dunkin' Donuts, I guess. As long as you stay till 4 o'clock. That's how, but we are not going to have coffee hour, but we are going to have fellowship hour, right? I think it's good to fellowship for those of you who can stay. We usually stay here. We've got the sanctuary for ourselves all afternoon. If you want to stay here until 6 o'clock, it's fine. You'll be all by yourself. Or you could stay another half an hour and just chat and then catch up and all that. It's always good to have that community coming together. I'm a strong believer in that because God is communitarian in nature. You know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one community, and we bear His image and we live His image, and therefore we need one another. The other thing that I want to really push and say is that Wednesday evenings we're having a fantastic Bible study from the book of Revelation. I know the speaker myself. I join him every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. I mean, he goes on and on, but I think there's a lot of good material out there. I know Dee goes there, a few of you. Am I right in saying that? Yes, no? Or am I, you know? It's important to know our last week's Bible study was a trip to heaven. I mean, how many of you, you know, I'm not promising you a trip to Mars, but a trip to heaven. Right? And it was free, you know, like you don't have to do COVID tests or anything. You just get there. And here we saw God sitting on His throne and elders worshiping Him and funny creatures, you know, in the form of an eagle, an ox, and what the meaning of all this. Now next week, on Wednesday, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 5. You know, a lot of people run away from the book of Revelation. But there's, for the Christian, you know, there's real beauty there that we should just embrace. And we're going to talk about the Lamb of God who has the power to open the scroll and read from it. So that's on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. The other thing is, next Sunday, believe it or not, it's first Sunday of Advent. Yes. Some of you are saying, you know, I can't wait for this year to be over. Well, my friends, don't wish it that much because you've got no idea what 2021 holds. It might not have a virus, but it might have a beast. Who knows? You know, we just have to go along with it, right? But, you know, today is the day that the Lord has made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it. Now, today is guaranteed because it is a gift. I don't know, but, you know, if there's a beast, then call this a prophecy. If there's none, just say it's, you know, he was just talking nonsense. The other thing that I want also to say that, you know, Christmas Eve service, it is happening this year. And we're expecting huge crowds. But it's not going to be in the sanctuary. We're going to have outdoors. How's that? We're going to have it in the back of the church. We're all going to hold candles. We're going to wear these big, you know, have you ever seen these big furry Russian hats? You know, I know Brian has one. So bring it along with you, and I'm going to wear mine, and we are going to sing carols because nothing can stop us. And we're going to, you know, we're going to have a few chairs for those of you who are just, you know, want to sit down. But we're going to sing, and I wonder if we could put a fire pit there and just have some fire as well and hot chocolate. How's that?
Yeah.
This was not my idea because if I claim it as mine, I will be sleeping on the sofa tonight. It was all my wife's idea. She came up with it. But the candles were my idea. I said, you know, we need to have candles there. So I think we could do that, right? I don't want to say rain or shine. As long as it's, I don't mind the coldness. I don't even mind the snow. But if it's raining, we can always, you know, push Jesus' birthday to another day. He won't mind. Because most probably he was born in July. And December 25th, of course, we've replaced it with a pagan date, and because we've Christianized all pagan dates, and we made them Christian. So that's that much for Christmas. And poinsettias, I want to thank you for all those who have ordered poinsettias online. We're going to start bringing them in. But you still have time till next week. If you want to order in memory of someone or in honor of someone, you could do that by sending your donation online and or just giving a check in the church. Just make sure that in the memo you put poinsettias. Is that good? Now we are going to move to the, as I said, to the heart of the service. And what I want to do before I preach, we're going to listen to four youth members who have gone with me through the affirmation class. It's been fun, really fun. You know, I've learned a lot from them. There were four precious kids. I loved spending time with them. And I had a short meeting with Zoom. I mean, it was a 15-minute meeting, and I missed seeing that, you know, people gathering together. And we're going to start, I'm going to speak to Miss Tiffany first, but we're going to start an online Bible study, right? Zoom Bible study. And God help you if you're not on it. But I would like now to invite Aaron Minetian Jr. To share his faith journey, what the affirmation meant with him. We have a lot of landmines here in the form of a wire. So what I would like, just be careful, and you could use this microphone and look at the camera as well from time to time so that people see what you're doing.
Good morning. My name is Aaron Nettie. Today I would like to take the opportunity to share with you my faith journey, especially how it has grown while participating in Pastor Virgil's affirmation class. For as long as I can remember, I have been a Christian. I was baptized by Pastor Virgil. I attended church most Sundays. I participated in our annual Christmas pageants, and my parents taught me to love and to keep God close by. However, as I became curious and began to question God's presence, I questioned whether God was with me every day, whether he listened when I asked him for help, and the occasional, does God really exist, question that a lot of us have. Affirmation class and the inspirational novel, or book, inspirational book, More Than a Carpenter, forced me to confront these uncertainties about my faith. As a result of these experiences, my faith in Christ and knowledge of him grew immensely. I have grown up to be a child of God who firmly believes in his existence. I have learned God loves me very much, to trust in his plan for me, to live my life the way God would like, and to be able to defend my faith. While reading More Than a Carpenter, I learned how to defend my faith. During that process, my conviction of Jesus Christ as my personal Savior was confirmed. More Than a Carpenter is a journey about a man named Josh McDowell and his quest to prove Jesus being the Messiah is nothing more than a myth. During this process, he comes across large amounts of indisputable evidence that Jesus indeed was the Messiah. The evidence that led to his revelation served to affirm my faith in my mind, not just my heart. I agree with the author, who concludes, we have been given minds enabled by the Holy Spirit to know God, as well as hearts to love him and wills to choose him. One of the principal lessons affirmation class has taught me is to trust in God's process and to lean on it. This piece of wisdom has stuck by me ever since it was taught to me one Monday night. Now I have learned to ask God for assistance if anything troubles or worries me. Beyond that, I have also learned to have faith in God's plan, whether his plan grants you what you are seeking, because everything that happens is all for a greater purpose. When I was younger, I would ask God for help and anything my heart desired. I did not understand that there is a purpose to everything he does for me. This resulted in me pushing God away at times when he wouldn't grant me what I had asked for. I now learn this isn't how it should work. When God does not grant your request, it is ultimately to benefit you. For example, my grandma suffered from an extremely rare autoimmune disease that took away her ability to use her muscles for most of her whole life. When she passed, I was devastated and struggled to understand why God would take her from my family so soon. After learning my grandma had a Christian faith and personal relationship with God, I began to accept her passing. When God helped me to see that my grandmother was in a better place and was not suffering, I began to see God's greater purpose. God may have taken her away from us, but I now believe it was to save her. So I challenge all of you, the next time you are upset because you didn't receive something you wanted and you feel like God isn't listening, reflect back on this Bible verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11.
We also have small gifts from the deacons of the church that I want to pass on to you. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And I'm going to book you for summer sermons. Let me just put those in my diary. But thank you. You know, when you hear things like this, you know, you are encouraged. You're extremely encouraged. And we have now, we've also asked the parents to give their kids a cross. And the symbol of power and victory. You know, in those days, you know, when people wore, you know, imagine today wearing something that symbolizes lethal injection, right? Put a needle on your, I mean, everybody's going to look. But that's how it was back then during Jesus's time. If somebody gave, you know, was wearing a cross, it meant that, you know, they were out of their minds. Why would anyone wear something that symbolizes execution and suffering? But we know as Christians it is a symbol of power and victory. That's why we wear it. And it doesn't matter, you know, what shape it is. But so cherish that cross as it's being given to you. And whenever you look at it, don't look at the metal itself, but remember the person who is behind it. Our next person is virtual. It's Sophia Kalustian. And I'm going to do... we are going to basically do a few things here for us here to see as well. And let's see how we're going to do this. Just before I go there, and I've never done this before. Usually I'm the person who speaks most of the time. But here is Sophia, and we are going to... here's Sophia. Sophia, what I want to ask you is basically if you could turn your microphone on. And can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Now, what you need to do is just speak a bit louder because, you know, the congregation in the church, they're going to hear you. People on Facebook, they're going to hear you. And people who are joining via Zoom are going to hear you. So there's a lot of people who are hearing you. And we're just going to hear her voice. How's that? All right, but just do me a favor, just speak louder than you normally do. Like, just imagine you're shouting at your sister. That's how you need to do it. Okay, it's all yours.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sophia, and I'll be sharing my testimony with you. Throughout the course of this past year, I had attended affirmation classes with Pastor Berge, and he really made it easy for me to learn about God. Every time I would attend class, there would always be something new, whether it was about building my faith or learning about the miracles God had performed. When I had gone to these classes, it was like I was stepping one step closer to God, and He was becoming even more important in my life. Myself and others in my class had also read the book, More Than a Carpenter, by Josh McDowell, and there was one chapter of the book that really stood out to me. The chapter was called The Challenge of the New Atheism, and the line from the chapter was, "They realized, without God, we inhabit a cold, dark, pointless universe." This made me think about how believing in God is the opposite of that. It's not cold or dark, and there is a point, everlasting life. My journey about coming to faith started by growing up in a Christian family. I had attended church every Sunday and went to all my Sunday school classes as well. I always enjoyed learning about the Lord, and I still do to this day. I never really knew a lot about God and who He was, but I knew the story about Jesus and how He died for our sins. This made me feel really special in a way, knowing He died for me, and I've always had an easy time believing in Him because of that. As I got older, my faith had become so much more important to me, and I realized how much it had meant. I wanted to build my relationship with God and make it even stronger, because I really wanted for Him to know me. Yes, of course, I had prayed to Him, but it was hard for me to know if He was really there, and if He was really listening to me. As my journey coming to faith had continued, I realized He was, and He could hear me in what I had to say. Since I've always lived in a Christian family, everyone always talks about how great God is and how He has talked to them in their own ways. I think that's such a wonderful experience to have with God, but personally, I feel like He hasn't spoken to me directly yet. But I just haven't had that moment with God, but it will come. Over the years, I also went to Camp Audubon, which is a Christian camp where I had a lot of one-on-one time with God. My cousins had gone there when they were younger, and it really created such a nice atmosphere and brought them closer to God, like it has done for me. This camp really made an influence on my faith because of how we all have the same beliefs. It also gave me the opportunity to make friends with people that are Christians, and I'm able to have these deep conversations with, because we share the same faith in God. Compared to when I would go to school, it would be completely different because most people don't share that same belief in God. People were also not likely to talk about their beliefs because they wanted to fit in and not feel different if their beliefs were different. So by going to camp, it was a really nice environment for me to talk to the Lord with other people. Not too long ago, during quarantine, on April 10th, I was downstairs with my family, and I was talking to my dad about writing my testimony, about how I came to the Lord and how I knew that I wanted to accept God as my Savior. My sister and dad talked about how they had both accepted Christ a few times throughout their life, how they had moments where they had prayed and been prayed for to accept the Lord as their Savior. I looked over at them and asked, and they asked me if I accepted the Lord as my Savior, and I said, of course, but I had never prayed about it. A few minutes later, we were in a circle, holding hands, and I prayed to God, and that was my moment to accept Christ as my Savior and to be born again. I know I have become a lot closer to God, but my journey to knowing who he fully isn't over at all. I will continue my journey walking in faith side by side with the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sophia. That was beautiful. And I have a gift for you here. We don't have the means to transport it online yet. We're working on it, but you will get it sometime this week. I want to thank for Sophia for her faith journey. Each faith journey is very different than the other. You know, some have dramatic transformations. Some are just, you know, it comes naturally, but each one is equally important. The next young man, you know, the funny thing about these kids, I've baptized all of them. You know, they were like crying there. No, none of them cried except one. I'm not going to mention the name here. But, you know, I remember them really, really tiny creatures. of course, somebody had to be right. And they're all grown, and they're turning to be, you know, fine men and women of God. So one of the things I'm going to ask you, Brian, to do is don't hold the microphone too close because they are rebuking me. You know, I've got a whole congregation out there to deal with as well. So try to hold it like a bit far from your mouth so that it's just we can hear it, and then they will hear it as well. So, Brian.
Good morning. Good morning. Over the course of our affirmation classes, we learn the power of Christ. One of the most notable lessons for me, sitting around Pastor Bridge's dining room table, was that as Christians, we must trust the power in Jesus. In Mark chapter 4, 41, verses 35 to 41, Jesus calms a storm on the sea when all of his disciples are worried that the storm will overcome them. Jesus turns to them and says, "Do you still doubt me?" They forget that Jesus has the authority of God. I learned how important it was to not only have a relationship with God, but to trust his power to calm any storm and anything else in life. And lately, there seems to be a lot of those storms in our world. But as believers, we must trust him for all these things. Ever since my grandfather passed away, I've been thinking a lot about how heaven and how important it is to have a relationship with God. Every single Sunday, he muscled up those church steps to the front row. He did not like to miss a Sunday. I look back at his life now, and it seems how important it is to have a relationship with the Lord and how important it was to him to have a good relationship with the Lord. The Lord influenced not only his life, but how his humility and generosity showed his deep faith. His life is a great example for me and to anyone else to try in your own life and my life to have the same path and to follow as best as you can to have a good relationship with God. A follower of Christ is not just one who believes in God's word. A follower of Christ is one who uses the word of God to guide them in their lives. Every time I need to make a significant decision, I always ask myself these questions. Would God want me to do this? Does God disapprove of this? Is this something I would share with Pastor Barish? Ultimately, after asking myself that question, it leads me on the best path and helps me to trust in the faith that I have. Many times, the direction I've chosen in this light is the most difficult and often the less popular, but I know it is the one that will keep me on my path as a Christian and will help me continue my relationship with the Lord. I'm so thankful to have His presence in my life as a relationship that I can always go to. He's always there no matter what. He is always there no matter where I may be and what challenges I'm facing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. And this is a little gift from our deacons. See, when you ask, "Oh my God," He immediately answered your prayer, right? That's the shortest prayer you could use, and He always answers. Here's the cross that's being hanged. Cherish that, and always remember this day. By the way, for those of you who are joining online as well as here, this whole service, as we always do, it's recorded. So you could have the whole service, you know, sent to you. That's one of the benefits of living in modern times. Now, our next candidate, not candidate, but, you know, young woman is Carly Saliba. And Carly, can you hear me?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. It's all yours, and we look forward to listening to you.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I would like to start off with a passage from Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. Over the course of affirmation classes, the most important thing that I learned is to put all of my trust in God. At first, I had a really difficult time being able to fully devote myself and my trust to God. I wouldn't talk to God or pray that often, and when I did, I never really went that deep or talked about things that were important to me or relevant in my life. I felt as though I couldn't fully open up to Him because I felt like He wasn't really listening. However, as time passed and I immersed myself in Scripture, I learned to really open up to God. I learned to just talk, knowing that He was listening and that He cared. After finishing affirmation classes, I learned that God was always there for me, through thick and thin, and always loved me, regardless of what I did. To me, trusting in God is one of the biggest components of being a follower of Christ. I also learned that being a follower of Christ is not just following everything the Bible tells you to do and doing good things in the world. You can know Scripture and execute and follow everything in the Bible, but that doesn't mean that you are a follower of Christ. Throughout affirmation classes, I learned that being a follower is more than just saying you believe in God, but it is putting all of your faith and trust in Him. Affirmation classes really helped me become a follower of God and learn how to fully devote myself to Him. In order to be a follower of Christ, we have to learn from Him and study in God's Word, the Bible, and to listen to others teach from it. Another part of being a follower of Christ is sharing and teaching the Word of God to other people. I had a challenging time doing this at the start of the classes. I never really knew how or when to talk to my friends about my faith. It took some time for me to finally be able to express my faith to my friends. What helped me was talking to God and some of my close friends about my faith. Now I feel comfortable talking to my friends about my faith and helping them understand. Out of all of my friends, I am the one people come to for advice or help. And as my journey towards being a follower of Christ progressed, I learned how to help my friends using the Word of God. I encourage them to pray and talk to God because of how much it's helped me. After I began to trust God, I felt like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. He was the only person I could talk to about anything and everything. And now, anytime I feel burdened by something, I know that I can pray or just talk to God and know that He is listening. The presence of faith in my everyday life has greatly increased since affirmation classes. Before, I never really thought of what God would think of my actions, and although I'm still working on it, I am now more conscious of what I am doing. In addition, my faith has shaped my morals and ethical principles in ways that play out in my daily life. Through my journey of faith, I have learned the difference between asking God for something and expecting to get it, versus asking God for help and guidance on my journey to achieve something. Being able to work through my problems with God has really helped me through a lot and relieve my stress. When I'm away at school, it can get really stressful and overwhelming, and it can take a toll on me. Learning how to talk to God has helped me cope with my stress. It's lifted burdens off my shoulders and made me happier. Trusting God has made me feel safe and steady, as I know that I can always count on Him. I believe that my journey to faith has truly made me a better person in more ways than one. And I'm so grateful to Pastor Burge and everyone else who has helped me through my journey of faith. Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. You know, this is like one of the days you get very, very proud of, not achievements. This is God's work in our kids' lives. But, you know, it takes parents' work, Monday nights, or whenever it was now, it seems like ages ago, but Monday nights, you know, the parents had to make that time to bring their kids. We had a blast. I even cooked for them. They were not poisoned. They were absolutely fine. They're here. But we had those wonderful, wonderful discussions. And one of the areas that I've learned most is that the struggles that they have at school, you know, sometimes we just read a book and then we say, okay, these are the things they have to implement. They are the ones who taught me, you know, some of the real struggles, some of the real issues out there when it comes to being a teenager in 2020. Believe me, the world is very different than the world that I grew up in and you grew up in. And we need to make every effort that we stay strong, which brings me to the Bible verse that I want to share with you. And by the way, Carly, your gift is here, and I'll arrange it with your dad so that he gets it for you. I want to share a Bible verse, and one of the things I always ask anybody and everybody to do is to memorize Bible verses. This is something that just came to mind this week, where the Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans. You know, there was a church, actually many churches in Rome. They were not like us. They met underground because of fear of being persecuted. And one of the things he said to them, therefore he said, brothers and sisters, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. And this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, it is very important for me to share these verses because, you know, we do live in a world where, you know, we want everything very quickly in our lives. Sometimes everybody wants to understand God's will. And God's will at times is very, very clear to us. And sometimes we're looking for our wills to basically correspond to God's will. You know, God, Lord, this is my will. Just make it happen. Make it happen, and I'll claim this all for your glory. It just doesn't work like that. And sometimes you have to take a step back and just, you know, how you know God's will? Just read the scriptures, I say. You know, and one of the things the Apostle Paul is saying, therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercies, because God is merciful, and we know that, because he doesn't judge us the way we deserve, in view of God's mercy, offer your houses, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. You know, one of the things about the body, sometimes when I find it, especially when I get angry, sometimes I fail miserably. Even pastors fail. If the Pope fails, pastors are allowed to fail. But, you know, sometimes you're just so angry, you do something, you regret it, right? Because the body did not go through that sacrifice. You know, you did not sacrifice your body. I'm not going to go and you take a knife and you sacrifice. No, the Bible is not talking about that. It's just basically holding back and letting your spirit rule over your body. Most of the problems that do happen in life when the body takes over the spirit. Why? Because the spirit went dry, right? We've not fed it. We've paid more attention to what the world was saying versus, you know, and one of the reasons you kids, you know, youth or whatever you want to call yourself, you have stood here and said what you've said because you've spent the time to renew your mind through the things that we were discussing during affirmation classes. You know, one of the things that I've asked them to read is an atheist lawyer by the name of Josh McDowell, who became a Christian. You know, what makes an atheist? A lawyer. You know, a lawyer tells a lot, you know, no offense to any lawyers. But you know what, Dave? They just tell you anything that will make sense to him, right? Or her. But here, a lawyer is an atheist who went on a journey to disprove Christ's existence and all that. He himself becomes a believer. You take another person like Lee Strobel, right? The case for Christ. He was a journalist. He was an atheist. Very educated guy. Then he just comes on that journey. He becomes a Christian. What is making such intelligent people, even throughout centuries, scientists who were real believers? You know, we take Isaac Newton, for example. You know, like, what made such people engage and become people and men of God? Is simply Christ's grace. He is the one who takes over. And sometimes when we relax our guards, somebody else will take over. So, my friends, what you spend your time more in, that's what's going to influence you. So this verse that I've just read, therefore, the Apostle Paul says, I urge you, that's something urgent, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is holy and pleasing to God. Now, if we want to please God, and that's our goal as Christians, we need to sacrifice. You know, sacrifice comes at a cost. And unfortunately, no one wants to pay the cost. They all want to get this stuff, right? There's this, you know, like I was talking to somebody, he says, you know, I just graduated from college, this is the job I want. And he got a job. I think I've shared this story with you. He got a very nice job. It's a dream job for a kid, 22 years old. He was getting paid so much in New York City. This is before the pandemic, the virus, whatever it is. Then he left it after 6 months. And I thought something tragic happened. And I asked him, I went and sat down with him. I said, what happened? Oh, I didn't like the atmosphere. I said, what do you mean? Was it like abusive? No, I was just sitting in a cubicle. It's not for me. And I went like, but that's how people start. That's where you start. And I said, you know, you threw everything away because it was just not for you. You see, and when it comes to faith, people just want a customized faith that fits their lifestyle. It just doesn't work like that. You know, in view of God's mercy, God does not owe us anything, absolutely nothing. We owe him everything. The last thing we want to do is not sacrifice our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's a daily thing. So when I see something that's going wrong, I have a choice to make. Either walk away from it or be part of it. Now, if I am part of it, there are always consequences. God will still love me, but there are consequences. And sometimes those are generational. It's not going to just end with me. It takes one link, absolutely one link, to break the faith of our fathers and mothers that have come before us. And sometimes it takes one link to connect with Christ. And those that were lost, it starts anew with you. So therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable to him. Then he says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Oh, if you want to hear news, don't listen to news, because you're not going to get news. If you want good news, don't listen to news. Listen to the word of God. Because truth, you know, even Pilate said, what is truth, you know, to Jesus? You know, truth does not matter anymore. There's customized truth that works for individuals or for communities. But the absolute truth is found in the Bible. So do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's in the mind, it's going to affect the heart. Do you know that the greatest distance ever, you know, between where it is from, is between the head and the heart. Sometimes the heart wants something that the mind is against because it's not being renewed. So there are roadblocks, right? And so you need to make sure that your mind is being filled with edifying stuff. You know, we have to make choices there. I have to make choices every day. And I have to say no to certain things that are very beneficial personally. But I'm not serving my person anymore when I become a Christian, when I follow Christ's precepts. There's a higher power that I serve that has nothing to do with me. Because when you're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then your allegiance is to somebody else, not to earthly stuff anymore. So as I'm living in this earth, therefore I conform not to the patterns of this world, but I constantly renew my mind. And one of the things I do, the way I renew my mind, is I listen to Christian music, such as the ones that we were listening. Right? It's beautiful. When you go for walks, just put some of these, you know, not repetitive ones, but, you know, those beautiful, beautiful, powerful songs. Or listen to a Christian's testimony. Or, you know, we live in a technology age where you could listen to the Bible in any version you want. And in any language you want. And it's all in your pocket, right? You don't even have to carry. I used to carry like 10 different versions of the Bible to go to a Bible study. I mean, I was a fool, right? I mean, but then we never had gym. You know, we carried books all day. But now everything is in this. This could be used for something fantastic, but it could be you'll have a destructive force. Use it for what is good. And if you want to understand God's will, the Apostle Paul says, well, renew your mind. And as you're renewing your mind, this is where you are going to be able to test and approve God's will. A lot of people come to me, well, they say, well, Pastor, I need to understand God's will. I say, spend time with Him. Well, I am. I said those prayers. It just doesn't work like that, saying certain prayers and everything is going to be fine. Engage with God and God will engage with you. You know, the Greek fathers said, God is, sorry, Greeks, but the Greeks have said a lot of good things, right? God is closer than our own breath. You know, and that's who God is. If you engage with Him and His word, He will make His will extremely clear to you. And what is His will? It is good, pleasing, and the perfect will. So it's not like it's a foreign entity that we're living in, that we just don't understand God's will. Is what type of a will you want to understand or implement? A lot of the times, we want to get that will that fits within our will. It should just be the opposite, and at times, it requires the sacrifice. You sacrifice for God, God will bless you tremendously. You know, it takes a loss for a gain to take place. But many people do not want to live with losses. Remember that song, the hymn writer says, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender all. I think we need to change that, because the truth is, I surrender some, right? Because that's what we do. We don't surrender it all. I mean, it's a tough thing, but wait a second. I can't, you know, I've worked very hard for this. I've been working on it for 8 months. Surrender it and look what's going to happen. Nothing will happen until you surrender. And that's the tough part. Because what if there was nothing on the other end? Well, my friends, with God, there's always beautiful things. You know, we could have avoided a lot of wars in the Middle East if Abraham would have listened to God, right? He listened to his wife and got Hagar, and they had Ishmael. Remember the story? And then Ishmael, you have the Arab nation come, and through the promised son Isaac, you've got the Jewish nation come, and then brother was against brother till today. They're both from the Semitic, but why Abraham just could not wait. I've got a lot of wealth, Lord. And I need a son. Well, God said, I'm going to give you a son. He could not wait. And they said, you know, we want to do what the world does. We want to take the maidservant, produce a child, and it becomes a... And that was absolutely fine, right? Within that nation. They did not do anything illegal, even though it's illegal now, is it? It's crazy what was illegal back then. It's legal today, right? Adultery is no more illegal. You suffered emotionally, the judge will say, I understand. Right? This is the world that we live in. So I'm not going to conform to the patterns of this world. I'm going to conform to the patterns of God, who sits on the throne and who knows the future. And let's put our trust in Him. And we're going to end with our final song. Again, I did not want to go on and on, because I think we've heard 4 beautiful sermons today. But I just, this God has put this verse on my heart, because it's important for all of us to be reminded of this. It is an urgent matter to sacrifice our bodies as a living sacrifice. Our last song that we're going to sing together, it's handpicked by yours truly, and All I Once Held Dear, it doesn't anymore... mean anything when it comes to what I've gained in Christ. Listen to the words, and this is the time also we bring our offerings to God. We don't pass a plate around, but we have a little basket here. We bring our donations and offerings and tithes. And for those of you who are joining online, you could do that by visiting our website, thecrk.com, and you could go and click on giving. Our last song, All I Once Held Dear. Let us stand and sing it together. There's nothing better than knowing Christ and his righteousness. and in whose name we gather every Sunday, whether we are up there virtual or in physical form here in the building. I look forward to next Sunday. I don't know about you, but it's good to worship. It's good to spend time. It's good to reflect. It's good to laugh. You know, sometimes you forget to laugh in the midst of this gloomy atmosphere that's going on. God is in control. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with all of you and your loved ones now and forevermore. Amen. I want to thank you. I want to congratulate again Sophia and Carly and Aaron and Brian. And for those of you who want to stay for a coffee hour, you could do so. There is virtual coffee. We just, you know, use our hands. And thank you for joining us. Until next week, God bless you. Hi, Tony. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, hi.
How are you?
Good.
I got your message last week. Thank you.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Loretta.
Hello, hello. I'm not putting it on because I didn't
That's
do my hair.
Okay. That's okay. I didn't want to be on either.
We know what it's like to sit in your sun porch.
Actually, in the bedroom today. Where's your yesterday was the day for the sun porch? Oh,
yeah. This
is, are we the only ones on here?
I guess. Think so. I mean, I see other. There's a lot of people that were on, but nobody's really talking. Hi. Hi, Margaret. How are you? Mary Ann. Hi. How are you? Do you hear us, sweetie? I can't hear you. You're on mute.
You're on mute.
You're on mute, Mayor. At first, I thought it was Margaret.
She's still on mute.
What's that?
She's still on mute. It's Marianne and Tony.
Yeah, she's still on mute. Yeah. I didn't recognize it with all those curls. Look at how
pretty. There we go. Hello.
How are we doing? How are you guys doing?
We saw Chuck the other day. I had such a nice conversation with him. What a sweetheart. Oh, my God.
He really is a nice man. He really is.
You know, I never had an opportunity, or I guess I didn't make the opportunity when we were, you know, at your parties and stuff.
Right.
So, such a pleasure talking to him. It really was.
I figured out why you two are such good friends.
Why is that?
Why are they such good friends?
Well, because I rode in the van with them to get the furniture, and there's no one kinder than him or thoughtful. He would do anything. He would do anything for you.
He's a nice man. He really is. He really is. Very bright guy too.
Yeah, he's really.
So I wanted him to clean out my garage and basement because I knew if I asked him,
he'd probably do it.
He would do it.
I think so.
All right. Well, we'll good say bye. It's good to see you. Thank you. And hopefully we might be up the first week in December to go to all the, cemetery and all of that. So we can stop by,
Have a little
visit outside and pick it up for you.
Can you bring your truck to take the furniture? That's it.
No, I think he's delivering it. Isn't he delivering it?
No,
he didn't. We're gonna pick it up.
We're going to pick it up. I don't want him to deliver it.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. I think it would fit in the van, in our
seat. Yeah.
It'll fit in your truck.
No sure.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm using it for a workbench.
Okay, okay. Good. Be careful with it.
All right. Have a good day.
Great
Bye-bye.
Day.
Bye-bye.
So good to see you, John. I don't always get a chance to see you, but I get to see Loretta.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
Let's say this.
Somebody else on. Anyone else on?
How are you?
Bye, guys.